afternoon, good evening, and good night, everyone, and welcome to another This Week in Mormons, our special post-conference edition. So thank you very much for joining us. Al. Yes.
Hey, it's me. No, this is kind of cool, though. We got to do a TWIM on the day everybody will be receiving it. It's kind of a nice change. Instead of having to prophetically guess at what's going to happen over the weekend, because instead of having that whole, well, what's happened yesterday, quote unquote, this actually did. This all happened, so we sat through it, and we're gonna spit it all back out to you. Pretty exciting.
We are, yes. So yes, this.
Hang on to your britches, people. Hang on to your britches.
This is as real time as we get with this.
We are raw and uncensored. Take that, Glenn Beck. That's all I had.
No, we always attack Glenn Beck. Let's take it at somebody else. Take that, Rachel Maddow.
Take that, Olbermann.
Take that, Chris Matthews. Oh,
Rachel Maddow. I loathe that woman. I think she is just a terrible, terrible pundit. But
I don't think she's the best. I agree with some of the points that she makes from having seen her show. You know, that's fine. I think she's an okay pundit. What I don't like, if you've ever watched her show, is it the final like 5 minutes is devoted to some weird society and culture guy?
I've never seen that.
Like, have you seen, like, out of nowhere, you have this whole show with political diatribes and everything, and then this guy comes on and we talk about like what Fergie was wearing at some sort of event last week.
Completely illegitimizes everything she just said.
Yeah, I every time I see it, I just don't understand how that is still a part of the show, but I am not a television producer. I am a radio demigod, so
got to get the ratings, you know. Not everybody can be one of these shock jocks like us.
Yeah, we are very shocking.
And jockish.
Anyway, how you doing, Al? What's been going on?
I realize that jock-ish sounds a lot like jock itch, and I didn't mean to say that. So
I think you did. No, you did.
No, things are good. I've moved from the blessed Midwest to another part of the blessed Midwest. I went from Kansas City to Denver, which is lovely,
and you have entered the glorious mountain time zone.
It's true. I drove yesterday, so Sunday, hopped in the car and had my Easter feast of beef jerky and Gatorade as I drove, but I entered into the real zone. So when they said we'll readjourn at 2 o'clock, I said, oh, I'll just look at my clock, and when it says 2, there's no time adjustment there. I'll just show up.
You were there.
It was cool though. And I used the Mormon app on my BlackBerry.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah.
So on the BlackBerry, I got the Mormon app, which is in beta still for BlackBerry, but works pretty dang good. The only thing I would prefer to have is like a sleep timer on the radio listening. So like I could turn it on and have it just turn off after 35, 40 minutes or something, so I could go to sleep to it, that kind of thing. But great, great application. They've done a really good job with it. And so I hopped in the car, plugged my, I have a BlackBerry Tour, plug it right into my tape jack, the little tape adapter thing for the car. And so I'm listening to General Conference as I'm driving down I-70 in perfect clarity, real time. Everything was right there. It was great. We are living in the future. This is what we've dreamt of our entire lives. And here it is.
Now, because you told me, you know, the night before that you were using it. And so I went and checked it out. Because, you know, we talked about this before. I think on our first show, we talked about technology in the church.
Yep.
And whatnot. And if they had an app. And this is the Mormon radio app, the one that we found the week later in beta. Now, does yours do anything else? Because I found it on Android and downloaded it, but it's just Mormon radio. Like, I can only hit play.
Oh, no way. No, well, so mine on the BlackBerry, I can go in and listen to any General Conference talk. It breaks it down. So I could say, all right, I want April 2004, Sunday morning. And it'll pull it up, and then I just go and choose from one of those, and I can pull it right in, which is awesome. Really, really handy. The other thing it does is I can go, so I have access to the last 10 years of General Conference. I can go and listen to scriptures, audio scriptures, so I could pick any book, any chapter, and it'll pull it right up and start playing it, which is pretty great. And Yeah, that's it. The only thing that I wish it would let me do, like with the scriptures and conference talks and stuff, I wish it would pull up the text version so I could read it and then listen to it as an option.
Yeah.
Because I was in church, right? I was in church and I was like, oh, sweet, I've got my Mormon app now, or the Mormon channel app, whatever you want to call it. And I pull it out to start listening to it, and it's like, Jacob in chapter 14, da 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 da. Not that.
There is no Jacob chapter 14.
Haha, you fool. I've tricked you.
I fooled you. Well, that's great. Yeah, the Android one I found, I could just hit play and it would stream whatever's being streamed on Mormon radio, and that's it.
Well, it's still kind of handy, but, you know.
Handy, I imagine it'll get better. It's just called Mormon Radio Lite, so.
Oh, once you get the heavy sauce. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. So, that's good. I'm glad yours worked out. I was kind of bummed with mine, saying, well, this is nice, but for all my church reading needs, I have other apps that have all of
them. Well, but the cool thing, though, like, if you're driving and all you need is cell reception, right? You're not trying to go from local radio station to local Mormon-owned radio station to try and get conference. And it's perfect clarity. So the whole way, I had 2.5-3 hours of conference as I was driving that I just, perfect, no problem, went right along with it.
Isn't it? Yeah, and I saw the same thing. It was instantaneous, too. It's like it wasn't even using the data connection.
We are living in the future.
This is the future. This is how Tomorrowland should have been based at Disneyland. This is the future.
Our next stop is going to be vacationing on the moon. Gosh dang it. We need to be vacationing on the moon. They promised us.
Let's hope so.
They gave us our Mormon radio. Now I just want the moon.
Let's hope so. I'm glad that technology allows you to, you know, still listen to conference in those tough times when you can't just sit down at a TV or a computer and watch it all and take notes.
I know. And I had a 10-hour drive that went well as well. So it was pretty good. What about you, man? Anything fantastic?
What went down? Yes, actually.
Oh?
Interesting week. I can disclose some of this.
You're
stuff.
Engaged.
Yeah, no. but actually, I did doing some work this week for our lovely Census Bureau.
Oh, how is that, man?
Well, we haven't been doing a whole lot because it's been some specialized assignments.
Like track down Dog the Bounty Hunter and get him to fill it out?
No, mostly as of late, it's been what they call, it's basically counting, going to shelters and soup kitchens and stuff like
that.
Wow. They don't do the big go to your door and knock on your door and get your information if you didn't fill out the form stuff for about another 3 weeks.
Okay.
But what we did on, it's like the night of March 30th / early morning of March 31st, we went out all night, middle of the night, and you go out to count homeless people. It was one of the more interesting experiences
of
my life.
You are kidding me. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. You know, it's not as, granted, I had these visions of like walking through dry river channels, you know, stumbling upon like a ton of people huddled around a fire burning in a trash
like,
can and blah blah blah.
Pardon me, but it's your census people.
No, but it was interesting. I mean, you just kind of walk around and you're just assigned a specific area with a small team. Of course, you're in numbers. You're not alone for this. You know. Definitely pretty interesting. Hanging out until, you know, four or so in the morning, just trying to count people.
Are you allowed to disclose how many you found?
No.
Was it more than 100?
I can safely say no to that. Let's just say I was underwhelmed.
Oh, okay.
I can say that.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, I'm guessing Orange County probably isn't the hotbed.
It depends on where. A lot of it depends on the area you're in. And especially, I think, if you had something more like freeway underpasses or interchanges between freeways.
Or if you were offering free treats like snacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have increased the numbers significantly, I think.
I would think so as well, but alas, it did not. And I even went to Norm's in the middle of the night.
Oh my gosh.
But to no avail.
For those who don't know, Norm's is what, like a Denny's?
Yeah,
no,
I don't know. Is
no,
Norm's
no.
nationwide?
Norm's is California.
I have no idea.
Yep.
Is that it? Norm's is like Denny's, but you get way more food for less money. And they're on an advertising blitz right
Dude,
now.
Dude,
I had one of the
most hilarious moments of my life. In a Norm's, me and a couple friends went up to the Getty down there in L.A. And on the way back, we stopped at Norm's to just grab some breakfast, right? So we sit down, and it's me and then my buddy and his wife. And so we sit down, and I get, like, the lumberjack Grand Slam equivalent thing. And then my buddy's wife orders, and she gets just like, she gets like an omelet and some hash browns and an orange juice and then like a fruit bowl, right? And then the guy starts to walk away, and my buddy's like, wait, I've still got to order. And he looks at the girlfriend, and he was like, that was just for you? And she was like, she goes like, wait, Red, I start dying. And my buddy was like, no, we'll split it. You know what? We'll split that. That'll be fine. Oh, I was dying. It was brilliant waitering at its finest.
Anyway. I love it. So that was good. And of course we had my oft-mentioned road
show. Oh, how did it go?
This week, which was very exciting. It went well. I had to take off after Tuesday night's performance.
Were you converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ through the road show? Oh, that's good. That's a success then.
I think ours went well. I was very pleased with the effort everyone put in. I think we actually had one of the better
road shows.
Was it
the best?
Mistake. I didn't see all of them, namely the ones before and after ours, but I heard different things.
I saw ours, so yes, I think it was.
I saw ours, but you know, the one before we're getting ready to go on, and the one after
life is really hard
off,
sometimes.
So I didn't see it. It is. So ours was pretty good. Some were very, very weird. And I not to diminish the fine work, but some were very bad. And it's not that ours looked great because others looked bad, but we did a pretty dang good job.
Bravo.
So thank you. It was satisfying that it worked out in the end, and it's also satisfying that it's over and I can move on with my life. So.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, cool.
Bless the road show. Anyway, we are talking too much, so this is going to be probably a bit of a quicker episode. We'll see, but today we just strictly wanted to talk about...
Conference.
Our thoughts on General Conference, the various talks, insights, what we pulled from it, and of course we encourage you to... take part in the conversation by calling 1-888 this weekend. No,
let's go to our first caller.
Actually, let's go to our first caller. But actually, do send us your insights and thoughts on conference, of course, at contact@thisweekinmormons.com or post anything to any of the posts of the episodes on the webpage at thisweekinmormons.com. So I thought conference was lovely.
I did too. I sent you a text when, who do we say? Elder Christensen?
D. Todd Christofferson.
He mentioned the phrase social justice.
It could have been more obvious that I could picture him winking in his mind after he said it, like, huh?
And a little murmur of "Go Glenn" went through the crowd.
I'm not sure if it was "Go Glenn" or "Boo Glenn." I think it was a "Boo Glenn" comment. We need to find.
See, I heard it. I was like, that's a total high five, man. That is a total high five.
I felt that it was a total, shush you.
Well, regardless, I love that he picked that phrase to work in. And just kind of a little jab either way at some of the hoo-ha that's been going around with old Glenny boy. So that was fun. And that made me smile.
I especially liked, there was a talk here by Brother Glenn B. Beck, who is the General Relief Society president.
Oh, Julie Beck. Let's call her Julie instead of Glenn.
I was making a joke.
I was like...
Jeff, you're forgetting
the names.
I was like,
you poor soul. Come on. Poor soul. I thought... Julie Beck, man, she's been bringing the A game. And she's a great one because she's controversial to all the kind of the more Mormon feminist... affiliates, I guess, or those that call themselves Mormon women lib feminist bra burner types.
Well, you can say, you don't have to say bra burner, but there are feminists in the church, and it doesn't necessarily mean the traditional definition of feminism.
Well, I think there's degrees of it of feminism, which culturally, you know, I think we're kind of coming of age a little bit where. You know, finding that a woman's place isn't necessarily just standing in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant type of thing, is healthy. I think that's good. But there's some, you know, obviously there's still the extremes of the Mormon feminist region, but Julie Beck tends to just, she's a poop disturber, for a better, for lack of a better term, where she just likes to get in there and be like, yeah, so, you know, these words we've kind of been dancing around, bam, that, here's what I'm thinking. Right there, right in the middle.
I've never, ever heard that.
Well, I had to kind of adapt it from other phrases.
A blank poop disturber,
I call her. She's a disturber of those that, like, well, because a lot of...
Is this what you learned on the streets?
That's slang talk. But it's, you know, it's really one of those topics that's easy to kind of gloss over and just say, well, everybody will figure out their own interpretation of it and yada, yada, yada. And we start to drift in a lot of different directions. There's a lot of people that lay claim to what the right, I guess, way of doing things is. And Julie Beck, man, that woman just throws it right out there and says it like she says it.
So did you notice in this conference, I think it's funny because, you know, the talks are not pre-assigned, the topics or anything like that. They just tell them to speak. Did you notice how much was centered on the importance of instruction at the home with the family? There were countless talks that made mention of this, that Elder Packer mentioned that priesthood will never be strong as it can be until it's centered around the family, or that the church is not what can raise our children. It has to be in the family. There was a lot more emphasis on the importance of raising kids in a family setting and parents doing their job doing that in this conference than I've seen in quite some time. It seemed to be one of the ongoing themes throughout the different talks.
I noticed that as well. It was interesting. I went to I went to Education Week last year, and there they had a lesson on the past conference talks, or like the importance of conference talks, something like that. And the guy had gone through and just gave a statistical breakdown of the number of times different topics were brought up over the course of the last five general conferences, and gave what was, you know, what made it to the top, you know, what you heard a lot of, what you didn't hear so much of. And you're right, though. As I was listening to this, I was kind of thinking of that as I was like, wow, you know, this is one of those things that's got to be pretty important. And it was funny because we talked about the importance of, you know, when somebody talks about something a lot, obviously that, you know, the brethren are putting a lot of importance on that. We should pay attention to it. Then you go to the opposite end and you know, you look at, what are the brethren not talking about? What do they find of not great importance? You know, I think that's of significance as well, because you never hear them get up and talk about ammo or, you know, getting your
ammo.
Yeah, or getting like your conceal and carry permit. I mean, those never make it into general.
Why the heck would they ever?
Well,
talk
that's
about
that's what I'm
right
saying though. I mean, there's people that'll put. There's people that will put so much emphasis on this, and then they'll get up and talk about, you know, like education or love or missionary service, and they gloss over all of that. And they're like, no, 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 no. What I'm doing in my church is I'm stockpiling ammunition. That's what I'm getting at a conference. We got to get ready because the end is coming. Well, if the end is coming, the points of emphasis that the brethren are putting are putting out there are not any of those things. They're things like, yeah, well, like you said, teaching in the home, or, you know, gathering your family to the home, or the other thing I heard a lot of was dinner, like gathering your family for dinner.
Yeah,
that was kind of bizarre to me. I'd never heard that. And subsequently, right before, on BYU TV, they had the dinner nanny, or whatever that one is, where she gets the family together for dinner.
I didn't see that. What I did see, if I can make an aside, I believe, I don't know if this was on the BYU TV stream or not, but on the local cable here, they still showed stuff for 2 hours between conference sessions. And one of them was, after like a bunch of Mormon ads, did you see any of the Mormon ads this time around? They're going for new angles with that too. That's the other thing. They're talking about having, what was the phrase they used? You know, give your kids, they said, give your kids the most valuable thing. Give them your time. And this is the new catchphrase.
Isn't it about Mormon ads? Giving your time.
They're not, yeah, give them your time. And there are these cheeky little ads, and they're also clearly catering to the Hispanic community, because they had about half of them were not in Spanish, but they had a guy they were all Hispanic people, and even the guy talked to these like, "A message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter Days." Now I'm talking like I'm Scottish, but anyway, that was interesting. Now, though, after that, there was this fantastic half hour, 40-minute thing about it's like your guide to education as far as church schools, clearly catered to high school juniors and seniors, and it was interesting, but it was definitely made in like 2000 or 2001. And it seemed very outdated, just the fashion. And there was, I wish we had video of this. Maybe I can find it somewhere and post it. Because I'm sorry I'm cynical, but parts of it were hilarious. Because it went through every church school. First, they talked about why Institute was good. And in so doing, they went to the Institute in Cambridge in Massachusetts for some reason and showed people talking about Institute. The other funny thing was I knew 70% of the kids they interviewed for this thing. I don't know how.
You knew
them?
They
were all over the church, but for some reason. Yeah, like all these people they showed just talking about their feelings for Institute or BYU or whatnot. I was like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's so-and-so. I knew them. And they're not just like through BYU. Half of them were from my home state. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, so they moved around.
I don't know what the thing is with BYU TV, but you know, can we not afford some decent programming on there? Like all I want to do is be able to turn to that and get a talk. When I've got 15 minutes to kill between lunch and going back to work, I want a quick talk or give me a little Motab blip, you know, some little inspirational music or a talk. But instead, they have these like programming from 1988 and random Korean percussion groups going on and stuff. I'm like, come on, please, people, like somebody. I know it's college run, but it's like church funded and college run.
It's still BYU TV is not just intended for college.
Well, they put out great programming in like 1.5 hour blips, and then the rest of it's trash.
Yeah. So the best thing about this is it went through different church schools, and it showed on screen. He would explain some of the benefits or the things to look for at different church schools, whether it was BYU Idaho or, you know, BYU Hawaii or Provo. You know, just listed things in the city, like in BYU Idaho, it's like rural, small, da 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 da. And Hawaii, you know, is like the beach, strong Asian influence. So then they did LDS Business College, and it shows all the great things of the city in LA, and it says it's like cosmic bowling and
wait
the
in
mall.
LA. Oh
no, sorry, in Salt Lake
those
City.
Those were the two.
The main draw is that you can go to the mall in Salt Lake City, and you can do cosmic bowling.
That's when, like, your Elders Corps president gets up, and he's like, so we're doing a temple trip and a barbecue with football. And it's like, so if Jesus doesn't get you there, maybe some barbecue will.
Yeah, exactly, stuff like that. Anyway, that was a bit of an aside back to the talks themselves. I also liked, who was I looking at here
Dude,
while we were talking?
Holland? Wait. Holland with the pornography talk? Boom!
He brought it.
That was some serious stuff. And it was, the church released we saw this week, the church released a website to kind of help people that are getting over the pornography addiction or avoiding it or have a family member in it. And it's called combatingpornography.org. And yeah, so they have a section on there for individuals, spouses, parents, youth, and leaders, which I applaud the fact that the church is just going all out on trying to put out resources to help people that are struggling with this, because it's one of those things that I'd say 90% of the people I talk to are just like, oh, please. Everybody, you know, who cares, yada, yada, yada. And, well, and that's obviously the social tide as well. And so to be kind of the one standing up, I mean, there can't be a lot of research going into how to overcome this or how to get over it. And so the church has to be one of the major, major players in this. And so I say, great work. That's combatingpornography.org if you guys want to check it out.
Well, I love it.
I've got an uncle that's a bishop, right? And he was telling me that 40% of his time is spent helping people with pornography issues. 40%, man. It's a crazy, crazy problem. And, you know, like I've heard it mentioned kind of in passing from various church leaders and even apostles and stuff, as, you know, I've attended luncheons and stuff where they've been in attendance, where they say that that you know it's one of the bigger problems in getting leadership in areas of the church is finding people that are clean from this, you know, that don't have any issues with it, because it's just so prevalent. And so, I mean, I think it's something that's going to get much worse, and it's something that's going to become a bigger issue. And really, it's going to be one of those separating factors for the church. Like, it'll set the church apart down the road for their work that they're doing right now towards pornography. I firmly believe that. So, Holland, way to get him, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I wrote down some of his comments. There were some just some amazing ones. I love that he said lust is pathologically clandestine. That's a great line, and it is. And just, goodness, what else did I write down? I wrote a lot of notes from his talk. It was just fantastic because, let's see here. Oh, he made the point, you know, things that are not technically evil, of course, aren't necessarily bad, but those things can blunt our judgment and actually lead to sin and to evil. And there were some fantastic messages in that talk because, yeah, we're living in this day when, you know, pornography is epidemic. It's insane, like you said. I mean, it is everywhere in the church, sadly, and they wouldn't talk about it so much if it weren't such a catastrophic problem for the and for everyone in the church. You know, the brethren and the sisters, sure, we think pornography, we think it leans on the male side, but I think it was in the same talk Elder Holland made a point of saying, you know, we think pornography with men, you think of viewing videos, etc., images, but with women there's this other huge problem that they are in chat rooms and this and that, looking for that sort of mental and emotional intimacy. Also in that way, and you know, I mean, it goes both ways, of course, but it's a problem everywhere. I mean, like you said, it was Elder Holland that even said years ago in a talk that said romance novels were basically pornography as well.
And really, yeah, you know, that's just it. Is anything that toys with that emotional connection of between a husband and wife is dangerous, man. It's dangerous. So, excellent.
Definitely. I also saw, that's going to be a little loud, sorry. I saw, there seemed to also be many that spoke about what I would call moral relativism and how that's getting in the church. It's always been there, but I noticed Elder Christofferson.
Well, who was it that even, times, they were like, that's baloney, you know, moral relativism. Was that Elder Perry? Maybe? But somebody just came out and said it, and they said, don't say that. Don't say that. There's no such thing. Moral truth is moral truth.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and I'm not arguing the case for moral relativism, but that's, you know, what we suffer from in the church nowadays. There's Elton Perry. Let's see here. Talked a lot about parents. Big surprise there that it's a sacred responsibility. But, yeah, and Elder Christofferson talked about, when he talked about scriptures, he talked a lot about the dangers of scriptural illiteracy, which is a problem nowadays. I mean, the kids just don't read anymore, and that includes the scripture.
Well, I did, you know, I've...
Sorry, go ahead.
I've done a lot of work with the youth of the church in my years, and one of the things that's really, really prevalent is... I know Elder Boyd K. Packer, when the Standard Works came out, the revision, I think it was in 1984, 82 or 84 or something, they came out, he's... said, you know, our hope is that we will have a greater generation of Mormons or of gospel scholars because of this. They have all the tools in their place. I mean, the footnotes, the Bible dictionary, the topical guide. I mean, that took years to pull together. And they were so excited to give that to the church because the thought was that people would study it so well and have so many resources that they would just know the scriptures frontwards and back. And, you know, as we've taken that and we put it all on into the electronic form now, it's kind of had a reverse effect, I think, where we so expect to be able to have that linked or have somewhere embedded the next step or the explanation, right? We expect that to just kind of be handed to us on a silver platter that, for the most part, it is. I mean, if you look at a word and it doesn't make sense, you quick look down at the footnote, get the little topical guide blurb, and you don't even go and look at that blurb in the topical guide to see other scriptures that might help explain the context of what you're reading. You take that at face value, and I mean, even more so in the technology format, when you just click it, it pops up with another little blip, and that's all the research that you're ever going to do on that verse. And it's made, for a texting kind of mobile phone generation that is up and coming. That's really the expectation. Is they, you know, they expect it to be, if it has any significance, it'll be a blue link and they can click on it. And if it doesn't, tough break.
Yeah. It's so true, and it's sad. It's I don't want to say it's sad, but yeah, there was a great counsel throughout this whole conference of the importance of not forgetting scripture reading. That's why I loved Elder Christofferson's talk. He's one of the few, I think he's the only one I can think of that leaned heavily where his entire focus was the value of scripture. And I might be mistaken, but he's the only one that comes to mind where it was that, you know, direct, when his clear theme was scriptures, bam, bam, bam. But he also made the point, of course, that he said faith will not come through academic study, more or less. I'm paraphrasing. You know, faith comes through studying, but faith only comes through studying fervently and regularly and praying for inspiration and applying the things that we learn. And that is the only way that we actually develop a testimony of scripture reading. We can't just read them and expect, you know, wonders to come about. We have to read them and do everything else. So I love that. I love the selective obedience, like Bruce A. Carlson mentioned. The same thing. He talked about obedience. And how many times For the Strength of Youth was referenced in this conference, too?
I think in a roundabout way, Monson had an entire talk on it.
He did. His priesthood session talk was basically going through For the Strength of Youth.
Just kind of as an aside, I had a buddy of mine who called me after that and was like, "Seriously, man, what'd you think of Monson's talk?" And I thought it was pretty good. And he's like, "Dude, man, he's just wandering. Like, ever since he became prophet, his talks are just kind of all over the place."
Can I jump
I'm talking
in?
About,
talk
well, he
to?
Was talking directly about the priesthood session. It seems like every conference he's given me a call and kind of said the same thing, where he's like, "Dude, man, he used to have the A game down, and now it's just like a couple stories in this." And I wanted to get before I kind of tell you my argument there, I wanted to get your response to that criticism.
Well, I kind of get it. In some ways, I agree. It's not that I'm sure President Monson knows what he's doing, because I've seen, if it is simplifying things, we're seeing that across the church. The ensign messages for the month are shorter now for the home teaching messages. What are we teaching in Underscoreman Relief Society this year?
Or the principles.
No, gospel principles. Clearly, there's a push to simplify things a bit right now. And if his conference talks are a reflection of that, then so be it. At the same time, I get that, and I've always felt like President Monson, as president of the church or as a counselor or whatever, that there has been a lot of nice stories that are good and they're useful, and I can see how the metaphors and analogies that can benefit me. But it is a bit of a contrast from President Hinckley, because President Hinckley would get into a lot of meat in his talks, and I think we all grew accustomed to that because he was a prophet for such a good stretch as well. And there's usually a lot of meat in his conference talks. He didn't just get up and tell stories about widows and use a lot of passive language, you know, like hearts were touched, hugs were embraced,
okay,
love was felt, and all that. So I get it both ways. I've actually had this discussion with my mom before, because the same thing. I like President Monson's talks for the feel of it, but I find that I seldom take notes as far as specific meat
that
I pull out.
I'd agree. I had an experience when I was in the MTC. Elder Perry came and talked to us, and he essentially gave he read pretty much the Pearl of Great Price Joseph Smith experience, like verbatim, you know. Yeah. "When Joseph was a young boy, he lived in," you know, like from that all the way to the end. And I walked out of there and I was like, "Piece of trash, man." Like, an apostle comes and talks to us, and all he did was just give me the Joseph Smith story. I know the Joseph Smith story. And I was like, I was just so kind of, I was just like, "Oh, that was a pretty, what a waste of time. What a waste of time." And, Well,
did you know this was the MTC?
I was never the rosy missionary.
You were a bad, bad missionary.
But, well, and so my companion, though, was like, "Dude, you just heard an apostle of the Lord bear testimony of the thing that we're going to go be teaching for the next 2 years." He's like, that's a pretty significant, like, "Did you feel the spirit that came in when he testified to that? Did you notice that, huh? Did you hot shot?" And I was pretty well rebuked there. You know, I was like, yeah, that is, you know, that is a great experience. And so when my buddy called and kind of gave me the same spiel, like my takeaway from the priesthood session was hot dang, you know, I haven't heard anybody bear straight testimony, especially a prophet or an apostle, of the you know, the principles in the For Strength of Youth in a long time. Like I haven't. And you know, so what a blessing that is for me, and down the roads, you know, what a blessing that'll be for me as I'm teaching other kids or other family members, whatever it may be, then I have that to fall back on, because there was a distinct spirit there. You know, you could tell that he was definitely speaking from the heart a little bit, things that he saw as very important. So I don't know. I've kind of been a little bit wishy-washy on the Monson bit. Just I've got kind of a soft spot now for his feel good stories and simple testimonies, but don't know. Yeah, it could go either way.
It goes both ways. I know I often sit down for general conference and I want to sit down there and want to just get like some, you know, we never get into deep doctrine. It's general conference. It's general discussions of the church, of course. But, you know, I appreciate those talks that hit it hard, like Elder Holland does, or Elder Oaks might, or Elder Bednar, you know, those ones that aren't afraid.
Well,
or
even Monson, go back to the Barnacle
there.
Talk, or, you know, some of those that are just like these epic talks that we still reference. But he hasn't really had a whole lot of those lately.
No. I mean, think about it. When Elder Holland, and a lot of this is just personal preference, because I love President Monson's talks because they have the spirit about them. They are uplifting stories and this and that. And, you know, so what if it doesn't sometimes get into hard doctrine and lay stuff down like I might want? You know, it doesn't really matter in the end. But I do love that almost every conference I can look forward to Elder Holland just railing on something or testifying strongly of something. But the thing you love about Elder Holland is he does it in this bold way. I think he is one of the most bold, or the boldest of any of the 12, which is laying stuff down. But you could never be mad at the guy, no matter how bold he is, even if you didn't agree with him.
What was his comment? Well, he was like cracking jokes. He's like,
boom shakalaka.
You don't, or when a bad thought comes to your mind, you don't invite them in and have tea and crumpets. And you shouldn't be drinking tea anyway.
Oh, yeah. I know, that was so awesome. Exactly. And I love that he came just after Elder Bednar, who Elder Bednar gave another great talk. Have you noticed the way Elder Bednar gives talks? I've seen him speak in person a few times, and actually a few times. Once. I've seen him speak once in person. Actually, no, I've been to conference when he's spoken too. But as far as a smaller setting, I saw him speak at a stake meeting once. But I think this just goes to his academic ways in the past and everything. You notice he often gives very clear talks with basically a thesis, and then lays down
it's total essay
bullet
format.
Points. He numbers
absolutely
them usually. Yeah, and then he wraps it up. But I love it because his talks are so easy to follow. And he talked all about, you know, spiritual protection and the things that we can do. And I love those three points he made, that it was reading and talking about the Book of Mormon, and then bearing testimony spontaneously, which I thought was interesting, and then inviting children to act. A lot of it was counsel for parents, but of course it applies to all of us. And I like that he said bearing testimony spontaneously, because I think that's important. All through my life, the moments that have affected me the most have been when anyone in my family has testified of something, of some simple truth. And like he said, a simple truth that isn't sit down and say,
when somebody says, I want to bear my testimony, the defenses go up, man. Like, it's like, oh, great. What is this? Cheese alert.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, exactly. But when something is going on, when a loved one in my life tells me a story and says, you know, I totally know that was Heavenly Father looking out for me. That's when it just happens off the cuff like that. That's when it makes me, not a big deal, but take pause and say, all right, you know, those are the little affirmations that you get in through the day that shape you. And that's what shaped me throughout my whole life. So I love that you pointed that out, that spontaneity. And of course, it's just simple stuff like that. Just pointing out, like, you know, I know this was divine. Hey, I'm thankful for the Lord's hand in this.
That's funny. When I was like 14, I was working with a guy, with a Baptist guy, and he asked me, you know, we got talking about religion a little bit. It was my first conversation I'd ever had really about religion. And I made the comment. I was like, yeah, well, I got a testimony of the Book of Mormon. And he's like, oh yeah, what is your testimony of the Book of Mormon? And I was like, yeah, that that it's true? Is that the right? Like it was so, well, because I was, you know, I'm so used to going for the exact phraseology, using the right words, da 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 da. It was like, wait, you didn't receive that the way I thought. I think you know, learning how to testify of something without having to say I testify of it is good. And I think both our LDS brothers and sisters and our non-LDS brothers and sisters will thank you for getting past the idea that you have to say, wait, I testify of that, and I believe that to be true.
And speaking of our non-LDS listeners, we actually do have them. And I just got to say I love that. We do. People that I know are not LDS have sent me emails or commented on this and that in the blog, and I'm like, wow, I didn't, or on the podcast, and I'm baffled. I didn't know you listened. That's wonderful. Good times. So to those of you, thanks for hanging in there with our weird, specific, esoteric.
They're getting
Mormon
a unique
world, so.
View into the world of Mormon.
Yes, a very unofficial view,
that's right.
If you will. But I guess we're already losing time here. But I also loved. Remember Elder Uchtdorf's talking priesthood session
Uchtdorf,
about patience.
Uchtdorf was
great
on
talk.
His game this time. Well, he always is, but well, and it's great because you always either get in the airline or the pilot talk, the post-war Germany talk.
You do get a lot of
he has those like two or three experiences that he just draws on heavily, and so it's fun to have him get up, and he's such a cute man. He's kind of one of those Gordon B. Hinckley types where he's always got a grin that you're like, wait a minute, he's hiding something. What's he got?
I don't know. I haven't heard as much that he's cute as much as most of the women tell me he's like a hunk type. That's what they say. Yeah, hey, their words,
well,
not mine.
Well, and the his talks are another one of those that it's just so easy to digest. You can sit and listen to it, and the message is clear. The examples are very poignant, and like the last conference, I think he gave a talk, and he mentioned the recession. And he's a great one for that because he's like, oh yeah, you know. So they say we're in the worst recession of our time. Well, that's tough. Life is really hard. Let me tell you about when I grew up in post-war Germany and I lived in an attic with my 9 brothers and sisters and we ate what we could dig from the ground. And you're like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. I'm sorry. That might have been exaggerating
that's
it a little bit,
word.
But that was essentially the message he gave. Was just like. The dude's been through
you are okay.
Some crazy stuff, like some crazy, crazy experiences to get to where he is today.
Yeah, I mean, he was like he talked about a little bit more yesterday morning, you know, I mean, because, you know, he's an East German refugee going into Germany, you know, to West Germany back then, how he had to learn English instead of Russian and this and that. His history is quite a bit different because he wasn't even born in Germany. He was born in... And the Sudetenland, you know, the German-speaking part of Czechoslovakia, that was the original impetus by which Germany.
I don't even know what that word is. What is impetus?
The drive,
catalyst,
the reason
maybe?
Behind.
Is that the same thing? Okay.
Sort of. It's similar. Anyway, yeah, and interesting history. He gave two great talks. His other one, I love some of the lines he had that, you know, we should not confuse sin with the sinner itself, that God loves everyone equally, that we are never in a position to gauge the worth of a soul, which is so true. And that he said, I love that he said, you know, that story that a battered $20 bill is still
worth
$20.
That was a great example. Like, I still remember, like, audibly saying, wow, you know, after he said that, because that's one of those that could not have, it's so timely. It couldn't have come at a better time in our church, I don't think. Because there's so much of that where it's just, what was the other thing he said where it was like, you know, you should never, as Christians, we should never say they brought that suffering on themselves. They deserve that. Which I was like, man, you know, I'm glad we're preaching that because that is something that is ultimately forgotten, I think, in a majority of the world, not to mention, you know, the church body itself. So...
It's true. So it was a terrific conference. I guess there's plenty more we could say on this, but the time is already far spent, as the hymn says.
Well, awesome, man.
So And any other great thoughts you that you cold?
No, you know the it was one of those conferences that it didn't feel like a doomsday conference. It felt like a come on people, let's get back. You know, we've got to remember who we are. Just because times are tough, it's no excuse for us to kind of maul the Christian way of loving and accepting and building. I'm not sure if it was Uchtdorf, but somebody made the comment of, no matter how they dress, no matter how they look, it was Uchtdorf, no matter what they're doing, they still have a place in Christ Church. And, you know, between Monson and Nelson and Uchtdorf, that was kind of the message that I pulled out of that we've got a lot more to worry about so far as making people feel accepted and a part of what we believe, rather than trying to segregate ourselves and separate us from other people, which has been kind of an impromptu emphasis over the last couple of years as we've separated from the mainstream of on issues like gay marriage and a few other kind of key ones that have stood out. So,
yeah. I agree. And for me, from this conference, the biggest things I took was definitely the value of work in the home. Even Elder Hale said the same thing, that the greatest missionary service we can give is in our home. Countless references to that, which I think is also timely in this society. We can't look to, no matter how good our intentions, we can't look to society or to a government or even to the church in and of itself to raise kids and to get all that. Bottom line is it comes down to parents doing their job as parents, raising kids well. You know, that's where all the greatest influences are. So I thought that was one of the strongest threads that was throughout the entire conference. Aside from that, a lot of other good stuff.
Go get your Mormon app and listen in. Give it a listen.
Go get it or just listen on the church's website. But yeah, dude, LDS.org. It's listed on our
be in the show notes
webpage. It is. It's over on the side. It's a permalink. I was gussying. Well,
thank
I was
you,
messing
Jeff.
Around
Good work.
With the webpage. Unbeknownst to Al, I was linking to all sorts of things, probably not to his liking. So it was fine. So it was a terrific conference. Always a pleasure and a privilege to be able to, every 6 months, to be able to listen to the voices of actual prophets. And that's the thing we take for granted. We're sitting there, prophets.
You're not getting this over in the other ones. You're not getting it there.
These are prophets. And I love that conference is a social thing. But yeah, I mean, we need to always give it the priority that it deserves, because it's every 6 months that we get to actually see them on video, see prophets actually giving us inspired messages, which is great stuff. So
absolutely.
So that's all. This has been a very serious episode. So thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff though.
Hanging with us. So I guess that'll be.
We'll be back in less than a week, maybe
this week. Maybe so, yes. This is late, so we'll get this up. Not that you care, because by the time you get this, it'll have been up, and everything I'm saying doesn't matter. So, I wasn't talking.
See you guys.
The last 10 seconds. And let's move on. So, Al, enjoy the Rocky Mountain High.
I'll do one for you, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy. Get that John Denver on. Don't become
Never.
A Broncos fan. They're terrible.
Long live the
or
Chiefs.
Or a Rockies fan, for that matter. And that is all. Long live the Chiefs and long live the Angels, because today is opening day for baseball, everyone.
Congratulations.
Enjoy
all right,
it.
See you, man.
All right, later, Al. And for my lovely, gorgeous colleague, Al, this is Jeff. And this has been This Week in Mormons. Goodbye.